What Does It Take to Be a Man? By Rookwood. Apart from the song by the US band Boston, who sadly managed to enthusiastically embrace the touchy-feely spectrum ruining an otherwise excellent song, this is a genuine question. In this age of mass gender confusion, the role and indeed identity of the male is, or has been, undermined at every turn. In the pursuit of a gray, uniform and classless society, such outposts of traditionalism are unjustly condemned as the patriarchy, and are the immediate focus of attack by the stormtroopers of postmodernism. The more rock and rubble that is removed from the foundation of classic society, the greater the likelihood that the entire edifice will collapse and thereby instigate the great revolution so desired by the anarchist, communist, fifth columnist, globalist and Armageddonist alike. This is why it is foolish to blame the ongoing erosion of conservative Christian values on any particular group, be they politically, ethically or religiously motivated. The attack on manhood comes from so many directions, and being aligned in almost perfect concert, it is almost impossible to ascertain either the true range of perpetrators or the full array of weaponry that is being used in this war. One thing is certain though, if the fairer sex were to endure the same amount of social barbarity and negative bias, the tears, screaming and outcry would be deafening. Part of the problem, admittedly, is down to men ourselves. We have been beguiled by beauty, charm, the warmth of nurture and home comforts. By placing motherhood and the gifts that come almost naturally to most women on a pedestal, we have forgotten and diluted the opposite gifts of fatherhood, rationality, independence and accountability to our distinct disadvantage. Or to be extremely blunt about it, as a gender we have betrayed the natural order of God, angels, man, woman and the animal. Such a statement in 2020 is both political and religious blasphemy, and I make no apology for reiterating such a fundamental truth. That part is easy. How, as a male, you live towards this ideal, is the difficult part. I used to be a regular and committed churchgoer. The writing was clearly on the wall when the whole concept of the fatherhood of God was undermined. Not only in the appointment of female clergy, which is specifically warned against in the New Testament, but in the increasing dependence of women in important leadership positions. This was partly down to the male membership of church being easily outnumbered 1-to-2, which should quickly raise some warning flags. Men, far from not being spiritual, were far too focused even at this point on the harsh realities of life to make room for God. The male psyche is driven by testosterone, and competition. Accomplishment and duty are very different drivers from nurture. Most men suffer from stiff upper lip syndrome, internalizing problems and difficulties, no matter how grave. Women are the exact opposite. The dynamics are clear to see, man would rather struggle on independently, whereas woman will naturally share and network. As a result, out of demographic necessity, rebellion against the written wisdom of God, or both, the church became feminized, something that will induce a very visceral reaction in the Protestant who understands the evils of Marianism. As a consequence, for the church, any diminishing credibility went into free fall. Once the church was undermined, the rest of civil society would be an easy task. The groundwork was already laid, in the removal of the role of male as breadwinner post-First and Second World War. Be it through demographics, again, or the greed of those that wanted to increase the taxation revenue by doubling the working population, a double whammy was delivered to the father. Increased competition, plus the destruction of availability of one half of the family that was meant to be available to nurture, teach and care for our offspring, meant in reality we handed our children to the care of the state for the majority of their early lives in one way or another. This evil and pernicious shift in the natural order culminated in a tipping point where it was a financial necessity for both mother and father to work if any quality of life was to be achieved by the post-nuclear family. Sure, this was compensated for by the annual holiday abroad, fashionable do-dos and expensive toys for the kids, But in reality, the majority of UK families are now mired in debt, having been lured into the trap by the original riches that the original vision offered. In reality, the employment market is suffering from hyperdeflation, the true value of time and hard work being eroded to the point that it is no surprise that a benefits culture is an equal opportunity employer. Unless both partners work, the economic realities are harsh. And here lies the rub. If you want to make a man worthless, disable his ability to be an effective and productive breadwinner. It will destroy his soul, break his heart, and cause a disillusionment and bitterness to rot his bones. Really want to put the boot in? Remove all rights as a father, and prioritize the agenda of the woman-in-law, and do it in secret. The family courts in this country are contemptible. Rather than being based on justice, they are a political vehicle for the godless, perverts, and the wicked. Why else are such decisions and deeds done in the dark? My gall is not born out of bitterness, but rather in consideration of the full knowledge if my wife and I were to have a serious falling out, I would be at a distinct disadvantage. I would be kicked out of my house with little redress, and as far as getting temporary or council accommodation, forget it. There generally is no resources for homeless males. Woman, children and immigrants first if you please. I was told in 1978 I would have to wait 5 years for council accommodation, and that was despite strong extenuating circumstances on my part. The situation has not improved in over 50 years, with homeless men living in tents outside, in the distance of my office window. As to women managers, I have only encountered one in my 40-odd years of employment. One had the temerity to write that I was too enthusiastic for the job, code words for the fact that I outshone my peers in productivity, competence and willingness. Another was a class one bitch, who attempted to undermine me at every turn as I showed her up for the incompetent, overpromoted individual she was. Strangely enough, the best was a director I was accountable to. A former senior KMPG employee. When she left, she cried and hugged me, and said I was one of the best IT staff she had ever worked with. Admittedly, Bea did have a role to play in this, but the feeling was mutual. I knew I could approach her with a problem, and it would be dealt with, often with her accepting my suggestions or recommendations. Although I say it myself, we were both consummate professionals. Unfortunately, she was pushed out the organization for being too straight and forthright in light of some very shady dealings. I'll be the first here to count my blessings. I have a wonderful wife, and a lovely daughter who, according to her boyfriend, is one of the most mature individuals he has ever known. Far from glowing with pride, I want to punch the wall in righteous anger at what it has taken in this messed up society to accomplish such an unassuming, undemanding outcome. The sacrifice both my wife and I have had to make to achieve this, negating the normal responsibilities of parenthood, have been profound. Much has been portrayed in the media about the difficulties of single mothers, but nada, nilch, has been mentioned of those fathers who agreed with their partners that motherhood is best and abandoned the income stream available to those who choose to leave their children to the television, Xbox, or the latchkey. Foreign holidays, new cars and the latest gizmo are not something we have on our financial agenda. Yet society harps on, and I feel intensely guilty as a male not having managed to provide these things. I cannot help but look back at a different time during the 50s and 60s where one income was sufficient to provide a decent quality life, and if your wife worked the odd hour for pin money, you were in clover. Now that we have hit peak stupidity, wages are now on a race to the bottom unless you are fortunate to offer a skill that cannot be offshored or outsourced. Even then, the competition is harsh, and we are rapidly heading towards a generation where HGV drivers, journalists, GPs and lawyers will be replaced with automation or artificial intelligence. Even your local copper is not immune, his numbers decimated by the move to the squad car, close-circuit television and the DNA database. Technology will continue to be the greatest steward towards the unemployment queue than Margaret Thatcher ever was. The technocratic elite is now a class reality. This leaves us with a great predicament. The majority of male identity is based on his job. The promised leisure society promoted in the golden age of the Beatles has not materialized, nor has the economic benefits to the masses. The biggest challenge to man, as hunter-gatherer, is not only to find viable work, but purpose. With universal income on the horizon, this might alleviate the stinging rebuke that a lack of the former facilitates, but does not deal with the latter. Having experienced redundancy more times than I want to remember, and seen the effects on my father who was made redundant more times than I have fingers, I am unequivocal in my response to in least part of my opening rhetorical question. Men need self-respect, and part of that intrinsic value is derived through gainful, well-paid employment. While the prospect of full employment will always remain an economic anathema, we have the responsibility of fatherhood, and if not that, to ensure we retain a level of discipline over our middle leg. After that, the world is our oyster. Be it philosopher, author, mentor, explorer, inventor, as men we have a plethora of historical precedents upon which to build. First of all though, we need to break those shackles that the soy generation have wrapped around themselves, the lies of a political and social culture that say being a man, and in particular, a white man, is equivalent to failure. Arming ourselves with truth, we need to fight the good fight, and realize that the greatest way to defeat your opponent is to divide them. Which is exactly the technique used to destroy countless families and men over the past generations. Rather than vocally condemning soy boys, mentor and teach. Arm yourself with knowledge and wisdom, and when all fails, take a step back and watch, listen and learn. Most of all, appreciate and attempt to live with integrity, honor, honesty and sincerity. Love people and use things, not the other way around. Finally, if pushed, go outside on the night of full cloudless moon, point your head towards the heavens and howl unreservedly from the gut. That is the closest as a man you will get to sanity while the feminization of society continues unabated. Copyright Rookwood 2020.